I am preaching in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. And I don't really want to say this lightly, but this sermon is one of the most important sermons that I can preach. And you'll see what I mean, but this is the type of sermon that it may not be so apparent of how important it is, but it is. It is so, so very important. And I wish more and more people were teaching this and learning it and understanding it. But I'm preaching on a secret from eternity past that remained hidden through history till God revealed it. And the revealing of it came in layers. And layers are in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:9 and 2:5, it says, God revealed to the apostles the mystery, that's the secret, which is set forth in Christ, in the Messiah. And in chapter 3, Paul said, the mystery of God's will, the message of truth, the good news of salvation, administered at the proper time according to God's purpose, he says, was the crucifixion of Messiah, which brought the sacrificial redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to God's grace. And then Paul said, when referring to that, he says, as you read the scriptures, you will understand Paul's insight into the mystery of Christ, the mystery of Messiah, which was not revealed, he says, in other generations like it has to New Testament apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And Paul mentioned other layers, like Jews and Gentiles being joined as members of the one body of Christ. This is mystery revelation. And fellow partakers of the promises in him. I've been preaching on co-identification. This is it. Partakers of the promises in him. Paul said he was called to preach Christ to the Gentiles. That's the non-Jewish nations. And to bring to light the administration of the mystery, he says, which for ages was hidden in God. And in 3:9, Paul said the mystery was revealed so that many facets of God's wisdom would be made known through his church. In Ephesians 5, 29 through 32 refers to this mystery in respect to the members of the body of Christ. And then in 6:19, Paul wanted prayer to make the mystery known. Now, the mystery revelation theme, we can call it, has this narrative of a divine novel. And chapters of the mystery plot remain hidden until God revealed them. And I'm going to survey an insider's view. We're insiders, and we're also going to see insiders' view of God's amazing mystery story for understanding what it is and why. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Understand what the mystery is and why. Let's pray. Father, I ask you enlighten our hearts with the revelation of the mystery, what it is and why it's so important, that we would understand it, embrace it, teach it, live it, love it. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, as a Christian, being someone who's saved by grace through faith and believing in the sacrifice of Jesus for your sins, you are blessed to get an insider's view of God's great mystery reveal, the reveal. And it begins with the mystery starting to be uncovered. Back when Jesus arrived in Israel, most people did not know that he was the promised Messiah, that he's the promised Christ, Messiah Christ, same thing, same word. One is more of the Jewish orientation, and then the Hellenized, the Greek, is Christus Christ. Same word. And it means anointed. Only a remnant recognized that Jesus was the prophesied one. And so John the Baptist was there, and he had mystery insight. And he said, look, the Lamb of God. And John also saw a layer of Messiah's future, saying Jesus will take away the sins of the world. Well, there was another man there. His name was Andrew. He heard John proclaim this. Andrew waited all his life for the Messiah, just like so many Jewish people. And in excitement, he heard this from John. Andrew went and he told his brother, Peter, that Jesus is the Messiah. And they both embraced the insight. But later, Jesus told the same Peter that it was not Andrew, that his brother, Andrew's brother, who revealed this insight. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. Because it's mystery, and the mystery is revealed. And it gets to be revelation that we understand with spiritual eyes. John and Andrew only repeated the facts. God's mysteries can be proclaimed, and this is very important, but God's mysteries are embraced supernaturally. Know this. All through the land, Israelites heard Messiah had come, but many did not embrace it. But as Jesus called disciples to follow him, he helped them to see that he is the promised Messiah. And the mystery was being opened in layers. Layers of principles were being revealed. Jesus had mysterious things. Many prophecies concerning Jesus were mysterious. Israelites had their interpretations by the way of those things, of the prophecies. But not all of them were correct. The disciples thought that Jesus was setting up an earthly kingdom as a violent warrior king. And here they are gathered with him, and this is what we're going to do. Well, at least that's how they interpreted Scripture. But Scripture contains mystery, so their interpretations were cloudy. They saw Jeremiah 23 through the same clouded lens of generations of oppressed Israelites. And the disciples thought that the king had come to make them live in security from Israel's enemies. Jeremiah 23 says Jesus is the righteous king to arrive to gather his sheep, arrive to save Judah. They thought Israelites were the big focus of God's plan. So when Jesus came and he seemed unconcerned with the destiny of non-Jews, it made sense to them. A Gentile woman came to Jesus and she said, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David." She identified him correctly. She's Gentile. She said, "My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But Jesus did not answer her. Naturally, his disciples asked him to send her away. Well, Jesus was keeping mystery revelation a mystery. So he said to the woman and he said to the disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the Lord revealed mystery details over time. And so standing there, the disciples thought that they understood, but Jesus gave glimpses of mystery revelation. The non-Jewish woman, a Gentile, bowed before Jesus and she said, "Lord, help me." And Jesus repeated what Israelites understood. He replied, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow, the children were Old Covenant Israelites. Through Jacob, through Isaac, back to Abraham. The dogs is everybody else, all the other nations. But the woman said, this is important, she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." The crumbs represented blessings overflowing from Israel through Christ the Lord, through the Messiah who is the Lord and the Master. And that woman's faith in Jesus showed that she was worthy of more than crumbs. She partook of the bread of life. And so Jesus said, "Oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." She's a Gentile. He didn't come for her, but her faith is great. And her daughter was instantly healed. But Jesus said he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So mystery revelation was unfolding that Gentiles get blessed by faith. But the disciples still did not understand the mystery revelation that was unfolding before them. They thought Jesus was teaching their view of things. We've all got to be careful when we go to the Scripture not to think it's teaching our view of things. But Jesus seemed to confirm it to them when he said, "Don't go to the Gentiles," he says to the disciples. This is pre-cross ministry. He says, "Rather go to Israel and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, their eyes were open to one aspect of the mystery. They were given insight to recognize that the rule and reign of heaven was within reach, thinking it was for Israel. But now knowing that some Gentiles would get some crumbs, and they also thought that the old covenant law of Moses was the everlasting law of the kingdom. The disciples saw Jesus obey the old covenant law. They knew about law righteousness. They thought the old covenant law was the kingdom standard. Layers of the mystery were still hidden to them, though. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus prophetically said that he came to fulfill the old law. And then in 5:48, Jesus said those Israelites must be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. You have to be that perfect. But nobody could be perfect as the Father, except for Jesus. And those prophetic teachings were not fully understood, but were important layers of the mystery to be revealed in the new covenant of Jesus when he would establish that covenant in his blood. And Jesus did fulfill the old law, but he also instituted a new law in the new covenant. And he imputes his own perfect righteousness to all who receive and believe in him by grace through faith, but it was mystery. Because he now writes his new covenant law on our hearts, the law of love. But back then, mysteries remained, and they were unfolding. And Jesus said in Luke 18, 31 through 34, that all things written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished, that he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon, and after they scourge him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Now listen to verse 34, and it says this, but the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of the statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. Why? Because it was mystery. But details were unfolding, and so was revelation of understanding. The prophets had given shrouded details. Jesus spoke of them, but understanding was hidden. And the fact that perfect Jesus must be the ultimate sacrifice, then rise again, that was spoken, but it was invisible. In Matthew 16, 15, Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, God supernaturally revealed this aspect of the mystery to Peter while going on to explain more mystery. And in Matthew 16, 21 through 23, we see it. Jesus said he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer, be killed, be raised up on the third day. But Peter began to rebuke Jesus, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Satan is the accuser, the slanderer. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. So pre-cross, old covenant Peter supernaturally understood that Jesus is the Messiah. Remember, the Father revealed that to him. But Peter did not recognize layers of the mystery as good news. Good news, gospel, same word, good news. Peter did not realize that Israel must reject Jesus as their Messiah. Why? So that the ultimate sacrifice for sin would occur for people of all humanity. And then following, he must resurrect to be the triumphant king and head of the body, which is his church. Peter did not understand that God's plan was for all who receive and believe to be called children of God to eat from the Father's table. Not crumbs, but the riches of the Lord's own inheritance. Remember, we are joint heirs, co-inheritors with him, the firstborn son. It was always ordained, but here's the thing, it was always a mystery. So when Jesus said that he was to be rejected and crucified, it seemed like bad news. But later, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, Paul the Apostle said, the mystery manifested is the good news. In Colossians 1, 23 to 26, Paul called the good news the mystery. Straight out. In Ephesians 6, 19, Paul said his desire was to boldly make known the mystery of the good news. And he said the hope of the good news is the mystery. He said preaching the mystery was to fully carry out preaching the word of God which had been hidden but now revealed. And this good news is the word of God, the mystery that's fully revealed. But why was the mystery hidden from past generations? Many reasons. One is because people would not have crucified Jesus if they would have understood. In 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 8, Paul said this, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom that God predestined before the ages, the wisdom none of the rulers of this age understood. Listen to this. Because if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There you go. Messiah's crucifixion and resurrection was necessary to make the spiritual existence of his people, of his new covenant, which is what we are. We're his people. And in this covenant that we're in this spiritual action in us, it cleanses you from all sin through faith. It's the same faith that the Gentile woman had when she went to Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. And this faith, it unites you with Christ Jesus. It gives you more than life. You follow what I'm saying? It gives you his life in you. That's mystery revelation. And this new covenant revelation of the mystery was God's hidden wisdom predestined before the ages, Paul says. Now, after Messiah was crucified and risen, his disciples received more layers of understanding. They asked Jesus if he was restoring the kingdom reign. But in Acts 1, 6-8, Jesus answered with more mystery. He said, they were not to know the time that the Father has fixed, but they would receive power when the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would be witnesses of him. And receiving God's Holy Spirit was a big part of God's plan. Now, with the indwelling Spirit, the Apostle Peter went on to preach layers of the mystery. In Peter's first New Covenant sermon to Israelites, he said this, Jesus, a man attested to you by God with miracles which God performed through him among you. He's speaking to the Israelites, people of Judah, Israel. He said, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you people nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death, but God raised him up again. So now, in this new covenant life, Peter preached layers of the predetermined plan of the mystery that he finally understood with the Holy Spirit come upon him. Peter knew Messiah was already reigning in a certain way. So Peter quoted the prophecies with more insight, saying in Acts 2, 30-36, that ancient David was a prophet, and he knew that God promised to seat one of David's descendants on his throne of reign. So David prophetically looked ahead to the future, and he spoke of the resurrection of Jesus. And then Peter went on and said, Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God. And then Peter quoted the prophetic words of David, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Peter preached, therefore, let all Israel know for certain that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Peter preached more layers of mystery truth in Acts 3. He said those Israelites had disowned the holy and righteous one and put to death the Prince of Life, Jesus whom God raised from the dead. And then Peter said in 3:17 that they acted in ignorance in crucifying Jesus. Why? Because it was mystery, or else it would not have been ignorance. And Peter said he now understood because the mystery was being revealed by God. And he said the things that God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. And so Peter urged the Israelites to turn to God, the one true God, so that their sins would be wiped away in order that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. And that he would send Jesus back again, the Messiah appointed for them, whom heaven received, until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. So the mystery was always in the prophecies. But understanding was not always in Israelites. And it's the same thing with a lot of things with us today. A lot of this mystery revelation is there, it's been revealed, but a lot of us have not embraced it, and a lot of us don't have a spiritual insight. And so there, Peter preached the meaning of prophecies like Ezekiel 34, 23 through 31. All Israelites needed to return to God in one particular way, by turning to Messiah. That's how you turn to God. You reject Messiah, you're not a child of God. You're not. You're not a child of God at the table anymore, not in the new covenant. And in Acts 5, Peter explained that God exalted Jesus to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You have to have your sins forgiven through Christ. The Israelites are forgiven when they receive their crucified and resurrected king. Even those who crucified him would be saved by grace through faith. But as the apostles preached to Israelites, God knew the nation as a whole would continue to reject the Messiah. The apostle Stephen identified the problem, and he said that they were always resisting the Holy Spirit. Stiff-necked people, he said. So resisting God, who they claimed they followed, the Jews started a great persecution against Christ Jesus' people. And a remnant of Israel was saved, but the rest continued rejecting Jesus. And with layers of revelation concerning the mystery of Messiah, and now powered by the Holy Spirit, Acts 8 says the apostles continued to preach to Judaizers and people who embraced Judaism. And suddenly something unexpected happened. God revealed another layer. God told Peter, take the good news to Gentiles. Well, for Peter, this hammered his presuppositions. Peter had operated as if Gentiles were dogs, with only a few getting some crumbs. But God wanted Gentiles to get more than crumbs. in his new covenant, in his life by the Spirit, God wanted Peter to take the bread of life to them to feast at his table, to be children at the table. But Peter still looked through the partial revelation. Peter loved God's older covenant Mosaic law as a standard for conduct. And so as Acts 10:28 shows, he thought it was wrong for an Israelite to associate or visit with Gentiles. Peter also remembered pre-cross Jesus saying, "Stay away from the Gentiles when you preach the good news." That's what he was told. So with that in his mind, Peter argued with God about mystery insight being revealed to him. And Peter was known for arguing with God. He argued with Jesus. He argued, and he always lost the arguments. And he lost this one. So he proclaimed the good news to Gentiles. And he preached in Acts 10 that all the prophets bear witness that Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus receive forgiveness of sins. But there were still more layers. Jesus saved a Jewish man who was a Christian killer. And in Acts 9, Jesus drafted that man, Paul, into ministry. And Jesus told Paul to share what he had seen and what Jesus will show to him. Two things. And Jesus revealed to Paul that in persecuting the church, Paul was actually persecuting the Messiah himself. And this is the initial revelation of another layer of mystery. The mystery. Paul was chosen and given unique insight into this mystery. In spiritual salvation, you are in Messiah covenantally and spiritually. And he is in you covenantally and spiritually. Basically, you have his life. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the body. You're a member of the body of Christ. All of this is very important because it's all about him. See? So according to Paul's revelation in Ephesians 2:6, you are known as sitting at the right hand of the Father in Christ. Amazing statement. And in Colossians 1:27, you are known as having Messiah in you. No Jew, listen to me, had previously recognized this or remotely understood it. It was mystery. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, you are the righteousness of God himself in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians 1:23, this revelation was Paul's golden doctrine of which the church is the fullness of him. The church is the fullness of him? Yes. And God said in Acts 9 that he chose Paul to minister his mystery insights to Gentiles. And then in Acts 13, Paul said to Jews, he's preaching. He was preaching to Jewish people. There were some Gentiles there at the same time. You find this in Acts 13. And this is what he says. Therefore, let it be known to you, Israelite brothers, that through Jesus the Messiah, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And Paul's preaching, and he shared unique layers of insight given to him from God, that through Jesus, everyone who believes, he says this at that time, he's preaching there in Pisidian, in Antioch, and he says to these Jewish people, there are some Gentiles, but he says to them, through Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which people could not be freed through the law of Moses. Isn't that amazing? Because they're in a new covenant now. The new covenant is Christ and the law of Christ. So let me repeat what he said. Through Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which people could not be freed through the law of Moses. And this was a paradigm-shifting, shattering layer of mystery being revealed. And the Jews there rejected it. Straight out. And worse, they tried to turn the Gentiles there against the mystery of the gospel. But God was turning his focus to Gentiles using Paul and the mystery revelations that he gave to Paul. Paul explained that the word of God needed to be spoken to you Israelites first, since, he says, they repudiated it and judged themselves to be unworthy, he said, of everlasting life. And then Paul, in that moment, focused on Gentiles, explaining that he was fulfilling the mystery work of Messiah in him from Isaiah 42 and 49. Which says this, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. It's speaking of Christ. Paul is a minister of this. Paul was a light bearer. And this is why Paul explained in Romans 1:16 and 11:11-15 that the Israelite rejection turned into the reconciliation of the whole world. The whole world. Which was a mystery. But now it's revealed. And so what happens next sums up God's purpose in this layer of the mystery. Acts 13:48 explains, when the Gentiles heard this, the ones that were there, when Paul preached this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to everlasting life believed. So all the Jews rejected that day, and all the Gentiles received and believed. And the Gentiles walked away with bushels of spiritual bread, appointed to be adopted children to sit at the table forever and ever and ever. And tragically, Israelites walked all over the crumbs as they perished in their sins. This revelation of the mystery even continued to remain difficult for some Israelite Christians. And Paul the Apostle, he realized it was difficult. He said he was a Jew of Jews. He was, as to the law, he was found spotless concerning law by other people. Paul knew it was difficult. So Galatians 2:2 explains that he went to the other apostles and elders to share the good news that he preached among Gentiles. And Acts 15:1 through 11 explains why. It's because some men from Judea taught Gentiles that unless you get circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. Well, Paul and Barnabas argued with them because Paul and Barnabas had mystery revelation. You got to have the mystery revelation. Mystery revelation is the insight. So they ended up going to Jerusalem. They went to the other apostles and the elders that were there. And Peter was there, James, and they wanted to lay out the mystery revelation that God had given to them. And when they arrived, they did. They shared God's supernatural work that was going on among the Gentiles and also the message they preached so that all would know. But Israelite Christians still thought it was necessary to circumcise Gentiles and direct them to observe the defunct Old Covenant law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders discuss Paul's revelations from God. And then Peter stands up in the middle of this group that's debating this stuff, and he explains that in his early days, now remember back when Peter lost his argument with God, remember that? That in his early days, God had him preach the good news to Gentiles. And then Peter explained that God gave Gentiles the Holy Spirit just as he did to us Israelites, and God made no distinction. And then Peter said this, cleansing their hearts by faith. It's all about that with you and me. That's how our hearts are cleansed, by faith in Christ Jesus. And then Peter said to the old covenant list-keeping Israelites there, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the Gentile disciples a yoke which neither our Israelite forefathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. Wow. Which is how? Cleansing their hearts by faith. That's how you get saved. That's how I'm saved. So Paul's new layer of revelation to the mystery was recognized as God's good news, gospel. Peter recognized it. So now he's proclaiming it. And the revelation that God gave to Paul simply unfolded onto the other layers of revelation that were already there. But Paul the Apostle's revelation is foundational. In Galatians 2:2, when Paul wrote about that meeting, the one I just told you about, big debate meeting, right? Paul knew that the layer of revelation of true liberty in Christ was under attack. And he knew that men were trying to bring Christians into bondage to works, to an obsolete covenant. And it was going beyond that meeting. And so Paul knew his mystery insights from God were foundational. And he knew that he had been entrusted by God with the good news to the Gentiles, just like Peter had been to the Jews. And that's what he said. But this foundational revelation of the good news was still difficult for some Israelite ministers that were Christians to deal with. Even Peter had some hiccups. While in Antioch, Peter was rebuked by Paul in front of a group. At first, Peter ate with Gentile Christians according to mystery revelation. But Peter separated himself out of fear of people who still revered old covenant practices. Other Christians joined Peter in hypocrisy. Even Barnabas did. And so when Paul saw that they were all not being straightforward about this foundational truth of the good news, he said to Peter, in front of everybody, to his face, embarrassingly, if you, Peter, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Knowing that a man is not made righteous by the works of the old law, but through faith in Christ Jesus through his new covenant, We have believed in Christ Jesus, Paul said, so that we are made righteous by faith in him and not by the works of the old defunct law, since by the works of the old defunct old covenant law, no flesh will be made righteous. Paul basically repeated to Peter what Peter stood up and said in that debate meeting, calling him a hypocrite because he knew the mystery revelation and he needed to be opening other people's eyes with the mystery revelation, not closing them. Listen to me very carefully. This is why it is so important for you to understand what the mystery is, when it was revealed, and why. You know that God's loving grace has been poured out on humanity in an amazing demonstration of love. You understand that Gentiles are being gathered into God's harvest along with Jews by grace alone, through faith alone, in the crucified and resurrected Christ alone. At least you better know that. Who imputes his righteousness alone to all who he spiritually saves. And you know that his life is the life that you live in Christianity. You must know this. It's mystery revelation. It's right there in front of us now. Your salvation is all about him in you, with you in him. Be grateful that your eyes have been opened to the revelation. Be grateful that God enlightened you to know what the mystery is, when it was revealed, and why. Repeat it, teach it, believe it. When you hear anything, if you hear anything that doesn't go with this, you need to spit it out and reject it. And keep reminding yourself of what you know, which is what? The layers of the mystery that have been revealed to you, and why. Amen?